Before I get into the word today and teach, I want to just have bring a couple of shout outs that in the last couple of weeks, we've had two weddings from our ALAG people. Stephanie Chang and her new husband, Derek, got married, I think, 2.5 weeks ago. And so we're so excited for that. And Derek is still wrapping up some business down in Southern Cal, and he hopes to relocate up here in the next week or so. And then this last Monday, the Loretto family, their eldest daughter, or one of the twins, Jacqueline, married Cheto Vasquez, one of our young men, and they live in SoCal as well. So congratulations both to Chang family and to the Loretto family. Their wedding is awesome. Amen. Let me pray for our offering this morning. We do have the giving kiosk available for you. But I never want to forget to thank God for His provision. He's given us everything we have. And I never want to forget to do that. So we're not praying for the offering. We're thanking God for the privilege of giving. And so let's do that. Father, we thank You, Jesus, that You've supplied our needs. And You've done so bountifully. Lord, it's a privilege. And it's a pleasure to bring our offerings to You each week. And as we place them in the kiosks, or if we have them arranged online, Lord, we want to thank You for the opportunity to give back. And know that You provided for all of our needs. You've said our money will go so much farther when we honor You first. And so we're glad to do that. Thank You, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Real Church. We are in the study of the spiritual gifts. We have this Sunday and then next Sunday on spiritual gifts. And then we're going to transition off of the gifts. But I hope you're still praying. Those of you that have not yet been baptized in the Holy Spirit, continue to pray. I know we only spent 1 or 2 weeks on that subject because we needed to move through. But don't let that slip away. Hunger and thirst for all that God has available. And this is a crucial thing, this blessed, sweet, powerful baptism in the Holy Spirit. And as we continue to teach on the gifts, be diligent about daily seeking God for what your spiritual gift mix is. Now, I say gift mix, not just a singular thing, because God usually brings a mixture of His gifts into our life so that it's not just one little cookie cutter, you know, thing that you have or who you are. That He has all kinds of things that you can involve yourself in, and it rounds you out in a mixture. And it's a powerful thing to have God use you, isn't it? Some of you have been used by God in powerful ways. And I'll tell you, for me, there is no more gratifying thing than knowing somebody else's life has been changed because of my life. And I know it's got nothing to do with me. I shared with you last week just how, you know, like small my beginning in ministry was. And as each step was taken, God began to build more and build more and build more. So I could truly, without hesitation and without false humility, say that my life is all because of Him. Completely Him. And I rejoice in that, lest I would slip into pride or slip into boastfulness. I want you to repeat this line after me. I am a part of the body. Say it again. I am a part of the body. Therefore, I'm gifted. Say it again. Therefore, I'm gifted. You are part of the body of Jesus Christ. If you're a Christian, now maybe there's some of you that haven't yet submitted to Jesus, and I'm hoping that because you're here or because you're listening online, that you're seeking and that you're wanting to grow in Him. But if you already are a part of the body of Jesus Christ, you're a gifted person. That's just the way it is. You can't refuse it. Now, you can let that gift become dormant and you can reject it, or you can rather not put it into use, but you're a gifted person. The body needs you, like the body needs its hands, or the body needs its feet, or the body needs its heart or its lungs. We need you. So today, in the weeks that we've had in the past, we've been trying to teach how the body works, how we work together. And we talked about the ministry gifts, the pastors, teachers, prophets, evangelists, apostles, and some of them how they worked in the past, and some of them how they work today. And then last week we talked, or the 2 weeks before and last week, we talked about the manifestation gifts, those that are found specifically in 1 Corinthians 12. And they are those wow gifts, those manifestation of the Holy Spirit gifts, with things like miracles and healing and words of knowledge, knowing things that you shouldn't know, and so on. You can read those in 1 Corinthians 12. And they're powerful. Today we're going to talk about the motivational gifts. Motivational gifts are the more, I shudder to say this lest you think they're less valuable than the other sets of gifts. But these are more the day-to-day gifts. The gifts that you might be more comfortable with. You might be more comfortable with saying, well, I'm a helper. That seems a bit easier than I'm a miracle worker. You follow? And so sometimes because of that gap, we feel that the miracle workers are somehow more valuable than the helpers. When the Apostle Paul wrote in the scriptures, that's not so. Everybody does their work. And as everybody does their work, they all fit together and the kingdom of God goes forward. So we ought not to think that the motivational gifts are lesser than. But they just seem to be more of the day-to-day, you know, type gifts. And so these might be more familiar with you. Mary read really well this morning this passage. I want to read it again. Romans 12. 6 to 8. If you have your Bibles, open them primarily to Romans 12, 6 to 8. But there's also a passage in 1 Corinthians 12, 28 and 1 Peter 4, 9 to 11. And we'll refer to those. Okay? So let's read this one. Let's read it together. Okay? Everybody's voices, join in with me. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Powerful passage. You might be anybody more comfortable with those gifts than words of knowledge, prophecy, miracles, healing? Yeah, they're kind of day to day. And we can see those maybe more evident in each of our lives. The heart of today is twofold. One, to understand how the church is supposed to run. And we've been doing that for weeks now. This is how this whole thing works. And not just Abundant Life, the church in general. And number two, how to be fulfilled in your Christian life. God gives us gifts, not only so that you can use them to glorify others, but as you do that, God, He fulfills you. You begin to realize your purpose. Nobody likes living a purposeless life. Nobody likes that. I've talked to so many retired people that thought retirement was going to be just relax and do nothing. And within a course of usually weeks, sometimes months, they go, I got to do something. I got to get back to work. And how many retired people have you heard say, I'm busier now than when I was working? So many, because we're designed to work and not to make work a four-letter word, because work gives us fulfillment. Work makes us feel purposeful. And so as we give back, as we volunteer, and I say the word volunteers, I see volunteers all over the place, you know, candy stripers in hospitals or volunteer workers in other areas, that we need purpose. And you find that purpose as you step in and get involved. And that's why groups in common are so important. Not just the gathering of the body to learn and to grow, but to be involved in a service group. So can you be involved in more than one group? Sure. Many of the ones in Sandra and my group that meets on Tuesday nights, we have wonderful fellowship, but almost everybody on that screen that we meet by Zoom has something else they do as a service back to the body of Christ. So it's powerful. I want to refer one more time before we jump into these to the little gift test I found online. It's really helpful, and it kind of leads itself more to these gifts, but it does include the others. If you go to giftstest.com, gifts, plural, test, that's one word, giftstest.com, it's a neat little test that might help you kind of get pointed in the right direction. Although, you know, I don't usually take these tests for a full, you know, confirmation. Because God can step in at any time and use you in a way that you didn't expect. In a way that's not necessarily your aptitude. I mean, how many grow up and say, yeah, I feel the aptitude for miracles. You know, nobody does that. Because God has to do that. And so you don't want to pigeonhole this thing. But go ahead and look at that, and I think it'll be helpful for you. So, motivational gifts. As we get into motivational gifts, I want to read first 1 Peter 4, 9 to 11. It's not in your notes. But I think it's important to read it. Here's that passage. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. Now, I wanted to read that because as I go through these gifts, and we're going to just kind of do a summary of eight of them, you say, well, Pastor, that wasn't mentioned in Romans 12. Well, yeah, I know, but it was mentioned in 1 Peter. And there are other gifts all over the Scripture. These lists that we find in Romans, 1 Peter, 1 Corinthians are not necessarily exhaustive, okay? We ought not to just say, if I don't have one of those listed, then I'm not gifted. Well, how many know there's a definite gift of, say, worship leading? Not everybody has that, but that's not in those lists. Or, you understand what I'm trying to say. There are gifts that are not there, and so God didn't mean to say, these and only these. But he says, whatever gifts, Peter said, use those to the glory of God. And I like what he says. They're there to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace. Now, if you don't catch that verse, that's powerful. God gave you a gift of grace, and we're to faithfully steward that. It's the same word that we use with faithfully managing the money God gave us. That we need to be good stewards, honoring God with our finances. Our gifts are no different. We need to take what God has given us and be a faithful steward of that. Now, we know there's some pretty dire consequences if we're not faithful with our finance. It doesn't say that there are dire consequences with our gifts, but it's the same principle. When you don't use your gift, the body's not blessed and you're not fulfilled. So everybody should be jumping in. Because don't you want to be fulfilled? I mean, it's kind of a silly question, right? Don't you want God to pour in and God to use you and to have that fulfillment? We all do. But yet sometimes we back away from doing the thing that will get us there. So let's look at these gifts. And as I go through them, I want to also make this caveat. I'm going to make gross generalizations, okay? And the generalizations are about strengths and weaknesses. So when I talk about these, you ought not to say, well, that doesn't apply to me, but I think I'm that gift. Well, allow some leeway, okay? This is for just to give us the gist of what these are. And so let's make sure we stay alert of that. Okay, the motivational gifts. Number one, helps. Number one, helps. There's a gift of helps. 1 Corinthians 12:28 says, if you're a helper, help. Now, the biblical example of a helper might be Timothy. And there are others in the Scriptures. Timothy learned under Paul. He was doing what was needed. He was always alongside to help out. And Paul was mentoring him, and he ultimately grew to be a very great leader in the church. And there's two books to Timothy by Paul, 1 and 2 Timothy, that speak to pastoral matters. So we see that Timothy started out as a helper, but then was mentored and grew into a gifting that he had that was pastoral. So I kind of connected that myself, and that's how I got my start. Helping at very young, setting up the chairs every week in youth group, and then growing up into understanding what God had for me in my life. Some of the strengths of a helper are that they just see needs and meet them. Helpers just say, oh, I could do that. I could do that. Oh, pastor announced that we need, oh, I'll do it. And they're really, really quick to jump in. Not always because they're asked, but they tend to see the needs before they're asked. But they jump in with just generous service. They can be sensitive to the hurting. They see needs not only in function and systems, but they see needs in people's lives. They'll notice someone, they go, that person could use some help. I'm going to step up. And so they're the ones that maybe we'll go visit, or they hear about someone's in the hospital, and they'll go because they want to help. It gives them such great fulfillment to do that. They don't mind being behind the scenes. And actually, they enjoy being behind the scenes because they're not looking for, you know, a name. They just get fulfilled by making sure someone else is doing well. The Good Samaritan might also be a helper, as he saw the need and he stepped up and he helped the man that was stranded and beaten on the road. Some of the weaknesses, though, that they can often feel neglected themselves, that someone doesn't notice that they're always helping, but they don't ever, you know, have someone say, you know, thanks for what you do. They can neglect their family. Sometimes if they're always helping outside, and then sometimes the family might be, you know, neglected. It's hard for them to say no sometimes. And so a helper can get overextended because they just want help. And sometimes they'll even sacrifice their own time or health to do that. In the areas of service, a helper might fit really well as an usher, a hospitality helper to serve in children and youth events, or really, a helper will just find a need. They're going to jump in. You won't find a helper sitting going, let them do it. Oh, it's taken care of. They can handle it. A helper will never do that. A helper's compelled. They have to get in there and serve. In our church, and again, I want to again put a brief parenthesis. I'm going to mention some names today. Please don't get offended if your name doesn't get mentioned. Okay? We've got 250 people in our church, and I only got 30 minutes or so left. So I'm not going to name everybody. Let's leap over that, okay? But Bong and Ami and Mara Lee and Dan and Michael, those guys get here every single week really early, and they set up stuff for us. I resonate with that because that's how I got started when I was a teenager. But they never, I say, you know, thanks for what you do. And usually Bong will look back at me and says, that's what family does. This is what we do. And I don't even know if they ever would miss it if I didn't thank them. But I make sure I do just in case. Helpers help. They're the ones that will stay after. And even though it's not their job, they'll put away stuff. And they'll come up and say, you need any help? You need any help? That's a helper. Anybody resonate with being a helper today? Kind of feel that? Number two, administrator. Administrator. Romans 12 speaks to this, and so does 1 Corinthians. Nehemiah may be a good example of an administrator. He was the guy who organized the rebuilding of the wall in Jerusalem. He and Ezra kind of worked in the same time frame. And this guy was, he knew the nuts and bolts. He knew how to work it all out. The strengths of an administrator is they understand the long-term goal, but where a visionary will say, that's what we're going to do. The administrator will say, yeah, but did you think about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, all the steps that it's going to take to get there? And did you think about this? And did you think about if you do this, this won't work, and if you do this, this will? The administrator knows how to think that way. They understand the steps. They know what it takes to accomplish the goal, and they know what it's going to take to organize to get that goal accomplished. They may clash heads with the leader or the visionary. And because the leader is saying, "Wah, charge!" And the administrator says, "You can't charge because you didn't do these things." And then they may get also, as weaknesses, stuck in those details. Well, no, you can't do that because you haven't done this, this, and this, and this. And they can get caught in the weeds sometimes and never actually progress because they're worried about, but you didn't do it this way. So these are very, very strict, gotta do it by the book people because they know how everything is supposed to run and how it's supposed to go. In our church, we've got great administrator. Leanne is our church administrator, and we've known each other for over 30 years. And that kind of clashing I spoke about, that was from personal experience. We love each other. But here's why we work together so well, is because I respect that I don't think about all those nuts and bolts details. And she respects that I'm the leader. And so when we come together in meetings, and we meet every week, so I can say, what are you seeing that I'm not seeing? That's good leadership, by the way. What do you see that I'm not seeing? And she'll go, and, you know, here's the big list. But then I'll say, but we need to get this done. But this needs to happen. We need to move forward. It has to occur. So that's a good working relationship. Lucinda's a good administrator. Melissa, a lot of ladies are good administrators. And that's not to say administrator is a lady's job. It's not. Male, female, doesn't matter. But it seems like ladies tend to be a bit more detail oriented. And that's a powerful thing. Ministry opportunities could be, did I say something funny? You're laughing and I'm not, did I say that wrong? I don't know. Huh? Oh, figures. Figures it was Robin. Ministry coordinator, office administrator, welcome center person, and on are good jobs for this person. Leadership, number three. An example would be King David. David was a great leader. He took people that were castaways, that were down and outers, that were messed up wanderers, and he created a powerful army with those people. That's a good leader. You can gather and you can build and you can see the big picture. You can inspire others. You can mobilize people. That person is trusted, and they build team really well. They stay and finish the project. And then sometimes they'll move on. A leader might get a little bit tired with the status quo and the maintenance of things. So a leader sometimes then jumps to something else and wants to start something new and start something, you know, fresh. Some weaknesses of a leader would be maybe overwork, frustrated with the details. They may ignore suggestions because they got an idea of what they're going to do, and that's the way they need to go. They can butt in without permission. Like, you're not doing it right. Here's the way you should do it. And because leaders are just like that. There's no more frustrating place, and I've been in both of these scenarios, than to be in a group of teachers trying to do a group project or a group of pastors trying to do a group project. Because they're generally good leaders and they have a way of doing it. And I look at these, and I've been in both, and I look at the scenario and go, we're never going to get anything done in this room. Because we've got all the same gifting in the room, and we need the others to fit in around that particular leader. But when you put all leaders together, there's nothing but just a demolition derby going on in that room. And you've seen that, right? We got a lot of teachers in our group here. Melissa's laughing. She goes, exactly. That's how it works. Because they're leaders. That's what happens. Good areas of service for a leader, department head, event coordinator, deacon, group and common leader, so on. One of our great leaders, Julius, is a great leader. Julius has this ability to see a picture, develop a team, and get it done. And he does that all the time. Our video ministry that we have that you're seeing on the screens with the cameras and all that, he began that. You don't know, but we're on a cable channel every week, a local channel, and they get these messages every week. He started that. He's one of our elders, and you may not know, or you probably don't know, he had a vision to create an endowment for his home school, primary school back in Nigeria. And he gathered people, gathered resources, gathered momentum, and now there's a $250,000 endowment that was created for his school back in his home country. A leader does that kind of stuff. And it's powerful, powerful, powerful. Now, of course, leaders don't get anything done without helpers and administrators. He'd crash and burn without that. Because he'd be by himself going, hey, I want to get this done. And they're like, well, enjoy. We all got to work together. Number four, the gift of service. The gift of service. Martha was a server, making sure everything's done. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Clean the house. Mop the floor. Sweep. Get the food ready. Get it done. Get it done. Get it done. Get it done. And then Mary's sitting there at Jesus' feet. And Martha's like, how come she's not helping? Well, because Martha's a server. The strengths of this person is they support leaders. They're selfless. They go the extra mile. They're a doer more than a delegator. They'll do the small things because they see the small things and they want to make sure those are taken care of. With a helper and with an administrator, they should be the leader's best friend. And that team should work just like clockwork when everybody understands how their gifts work in the big picture. If the server wants to be the leader but it's not a leader, it'll crash. If the leader doesn't listen to the servers and the helpers and the administrators, he'll crash or she'll crash. Some weaknesses is the server can feel underappreciated. They can be impatient with non-servants like Martha was of Mary. How come she's not helping? That's that weakness that can come out. Because they just think it's natural. We should all help. Everybody should help. Why isn't everybody helping? And then you're all lazy because you're not helping. A server can kind of slip into that attitude if they're not careful. They can even exclude others because they're always doing it. Sometimes the server will, I'll do it, I'll do it, I'll do it, I'll do it. And then everybody else is sitting back going, okay, you'll do it. And they sometimes don't make room for other people to step in and to help too. Again, ushers, greeters, hospitality, kids and youth, deacons. We've got a great server at our church, and I wanted to take a pause and highlight this server. Okay, Brian Spencer is an awesome server. And you don't know a lot of what Brian does. And is Brian back at the booth? Is Brian here? Oh, he's right here. Okay. And I want to bring Brian up, and we're going to do something else with him. Well, I'm just doing it right now. Brian helps all over the nation. He was born and bred here at Abundant Life. But he got involved with the Wow Jams down in SoCal when we used to do those. And he still does them. Whenever Stephen and Linda Tavani have a Wow Jam, he'll jump in. And he's traveling. He's in different states helping. He's a first responder for medical care. And one of his and his wife Nicole's passions is to serve at Levi's Stadium. And I want to put up this. Oh, it's already there. Thank you, Andy. That Brian received a special award just this last week. And he posted this. So I'm just going to read what Brian wrote. It says, "Tonight at Levi's Stadium, I won an award for my service work with the 49ers. I was nominated by RockMed. I believe they said there are 3,000 workers on a game day at when the 49ers are playing. 32 people from different departments were nominated out of those 3,000. And Brian won the final award of the night." Isn't that great? Awesome. RockMed is the volunteer medical group of doctors, nurses, and EMTs that do every event at Levi's Stadium, along with the events all over the Bay Area and Northern California. At Levi's, Brian supervised the field teams, along with responding to medical emergencies that happened during games or concerts. There was mention of my stagehand work, along with my wife, Nicole, and as they are both involved at Levi's. So that's a server. Brian does it in a special way, and he's got special skills that he's learned over the years. But that's what he does. And Brian, I just want to say we're so grateful you're a part of this family. And that we honor you and just praise God for your service. Well done, bro. Very, very, very well done. But that's a server. Number five, mercy giver. Mercy giver. A biblical example, I already mentioned the Good Samaritan once, but he fits right here as well. He saw someone in need and he showed him mercy. And even if he'd pay money out of his pocket and took extra time, he's going to make sure that that person was taken care of. The strengths, they're thoughtful, compassionate. They actually feel the needs of other people. It's not just they see it and need to fix it. They almost can take on the pain of someone else because they're just so passionate about making sure somebody else is doing okay. They can feel, they can self-sacrifice. They're kind. They love others. And they just relate to the hurting in a way that that most folks don't relate to. Some of the weaknesses is they can be taken advantage of. They can be enabling at times. They can be guided by their emotions, and thus they can be easily hurt. And they can take on too many burdens, kind of like the one that can't say no. The mercy giver can also just take on too much and can overload themselves because there's so much hurt in the world. And they just can't stand it when someone else is hurting. Areas of service there could be outreach, missions, care ministry, visitation, recovery, prayer group counseling. I think Sherry Cox is a mercy giver. Sherry she runs our prayer ministry, and she hurts for people. When you tell her that there's a need, it's almost as if on her face, like she becomes pained with the same pain that the other person has. And she just loves, loves, loves praying and bringing people's needs to God. And she's a great mercy giver. Really is. The giver, number six. Number six. The biblical example, I think, would be Barnabas. He's a good example. Barnabas sold property in order to put it into the benevolence fund at the early church, and so the needy could have food and be taken care of. I don't know today how many people have done that, or if I know of anyone that's actually sold a piece of property to make sure others are taken care of. But that's what he did. Giving is not only with finances. Giving is with your time and efforts too. Remember when John Mark made the big mistake of abandoning Paul and Barnabas on one of their journeys, Paul said, "That's it for him. Cut him off. He's not reliable. I can't trust that guy." And Barnabas says, No, you're not going to do that, Paul. I'm going to take him in. I'm going to mentor him. I'm going to take care of him." Paul said, "Fine, he's not going with me." And that's when Paul and Barnabas split ways. And then Silas took Barnabas' place. And then we lose track of Barnabas in the biblical narrative. We don't even hear about him much anymore. But you know what we do hear of? Later on, Paul says in one of his letters, "Hey, make sure you ask John Mark to join me because he's valuable." Well, how did he become untrusted to valuable? Because Barnabas was a giver. He didn't just give his money, he gave his time and his resources and his mentorship to young John Mark. This person is a good money manager. They see needs clearly, and they know that they can meet them. And God usually pours in blessing, but not all the time. But many times God will pour in blessing because he knows that there's a free-flowing conduit of giving there. And not just, again, not just money, but it's about seeing people's needs and raising someone up. I mentioned Brian. When Brian was just a young elementary school kid, one of our sound men took him under his wing and said, "Why don't you help us?" And began to train Brian. And Brian grew, and he connected with that training. And now he runs our show along with Pastor Sean. This person can get judgmental of lesser givers. They can step, if they don't have the right spirit, they can give in order to control. Like, I gave this, now I want my way, because I didn't want to support it. Now it's not, again, this is generalizations, okay? This is if someone doesn't have the right heart. They can be frustrated when their gift didn't produce fruit. If they gave to something and it failed, and it can be breed a frustration. But those are weaknesses if the heart isn't right. Areas of service: deacon, benevolence ministry, missions and outreach, fundraising, relief ministries, etc. I'm not going to name any people here because it's weird when you say, well, this person gives a lot of money. So we're just going to avoid that. But you'll know, you can see givers. You can see them. Number seven, there's two more. Hospitality. The biblical example here, I think, is Lydia in the book of Acts. It says that Lydia would open her home. She opened her home for the church to meet there. And she opened her home when the apostles came through. They stayed at her house. Lydia had an open door policy. And she was always opening up her home and say, come in. This person opens their home to anybody. If you have someone who's maybe as a guest and maybe like a missionary. There's missionaries that come and sometimes they need a place to stay. I know of a few folks that I can call and because they're hospitality people, and they'll say, sure, let them come on over and they'll stay at my place. That's a hospitality person. They love serving. They enjoy people. They like to connect people together and to connect with people. They're selfless. Some of the weaknesses: that they could allow their hospitality to be exploited. That if someone wants to stay longer than maybe they want them to stay, that they might just kind of suck it up and not deal with it. They may miss out on some spiritual dynamics because they're more like the server with their home, like Martha was when Jesus said Mary's doing the better thing, that these people are doing and serving and helping and opening their home, that they could maybe miss, you know, those other angles. They have to sometimes just be discerning about who they let in to their home. That they'll just go, yeah, anybody's welcome. Well, not everybody should be in the home necessarily. So sometimes they'll lose a discernment and maybe even welcome trouble. Areas of service here could be usher, hospitality worker, greeter, meals ministry, group and common leader with that kind of emphasis, special events, decorator, things like that enjoy creating an atmosphere even in the church of hospitality, that they want people to walk into our church and feel at home. Claudia and Robert, I think you guys have a gift of hospitality. If you've met the Pungarus, their house is always open all the time. And if you want a good party, be their friend so you get invited to their good parties. Okay. Hospitality people usually have lots of friends because who doesn't want to have a good time and enjoy good food? And you'll often find Robert in the back cooking up a feast and Claudia making sure everything's all ready. And it's a beautiful thing when you have those kind of people in your life. Encouragement. Last one here. A biblical example, I think, is Paul. Paul was always lifting people up, always bringing people along, always inviting people with in order to encourage them, in order to grow them. And isn't it great when you read Paul's letters, at the very end, he typically has a list of people that he wants to thank. And these are people that he raised up. Most of them, he came into their town, he preached the word, they got saved, most of them Gentiles, and they then would go with him. And he would encourage them and say, come with me. And he would train them and build them. And there's too many names to mention. But I talked about Timothy, and Titus is another one. And Philemon is another one. And Gaius. And oh, the names just go on and on and on. The people that Paul brought together, encouraged them, mentored them, and then saw them grow into their spiritual gifts. These people motivate others. They motivate them with the truth. They're good mentors. They make really good coaches, whether it's an athletic thing or a life coach or something like that. They really love to see other people reach their potential. And they get great joy when somebody goes from A to B to C and then just blossoms into who God made them to be. A weakness is they could be impatient with slow progress. That Paul was impatient with little John Mark. And he wasn't doing it right at first, and he got impatient because he was also a leader. And so he had that's kind of those both things working. They can sometimes give advice before it was asked for because they want to encourage. They want to speak into your life. And they might do that when the person will be like, "What? I didn't ask for your advice." And so it could happen. Areas of service, grouping, common leader, outreach team, kids ministries, follow-up, care ministry, recovery ministries. Don Z, I think you're an encourager, bro. And not just because you're wearing an A shirt, but because that's what you do. Have you ever met Don Z and have you not come away from him feeling encouraged? I don't think I have. Has anybody told you Jesus loves you today? Give me a hug. Give me a like full frontal. And like, whoa. Like, okay, here we go. We're going all in. That's the way it works. That's an encourager. Right? That's what people do. And there's a lot of you. I touched on just eight. And last week we talked about, 2 weeks talked about more, and then before that was more. We've talked about something like 20 gifts. And there's even more. Guys, my question is, where do you fit? And are you taking the steps to fit? Because you're needed. We all are needed. What if just the names I mentioned today, forget about the names in the past that we talked about, pastors and teachers and all of those. What if these folks in our church suddenly were not here? What holes? But you know what? Every single one of those people was not here at some point. Because I remember the day when I met Don for the first time, when I met Claudia and Robert for the first time, when I met Julius for the first time, when I met Brian. Well, I met Brian when he was born. But when I met Sherry and all the ones I mentioned this morning. I remember the church before you. And the church was moving. And it was going. It was good times. Good. But then people move. People come in. And now we have these folks. And we kind of think that there's an indispensable quality. Well, nobody is indispensable. We might think that, but there's so many that are sitting even right here that we don't know your gifts. We don't know what you've got. And maybe you don't even know what you've got. And if you don't know what you've got, just step in easy. Step in small. Just begin to serve. And you'll find God beginning to fill you. God beginning to birth in you new ideas, new thoughts, new aptitudes, even new abilities and skills. Brian didn't know how to do sound and stuff and all that, but he grew into that. So many others, you grow into it as you say yes to a little, and then yes to a little more, and yes to a little more. And then pretty soon, before you know it, just like a baby who grows to adulthood, you become skilled, and you become useful, and you start realizing, this is why God made me. And that's what we want. We want to see how God has made you, and how God has developed you. And I know you want that too. Maybe there's a little fear. Maybe there's a little insecurity. Who's not been insecure? Who's not been fearful? Has anybody else besides me been fearful or insecure? We're all in the same family, y'all. So take the step. There's a group in common table sitting right out there. And if you're thinking about maybe helping out with the summer kids camp, the table's right out there. Wherever you are, whoever you are. But I've only been coming to church a little while. So? And? Jump in. God will use you. He'll bless you. And you know what? He's going to bless us. Because we need you. When I say we, I don't mean the church system. What I mean is, my life needs your life. My spirit needs your spirit. Because I grow because of you. I get fulfilled because of you. And you grow because of each other. As iron sharpens iron. As we work side by side. Let's let God use us. Let's be good stewards of the grace that he's given us. And then watch God do things you never dreamed that he would do. We're not going to linger this morning. If you want to linger, you can stay inside. The purpose being is that we do want to go outside and get you to the group in common area. And we also have some food. And I pray that all of us today would suddenly become generous gift givers. Because we want to get our kids to Florida for the Fine Arts Festival. So be generous today as you eat your food. So I'm going to pray. And Pastor Sean, it wouldn't be church if you don't close with a song or something. I don't know. Well, I'm going to pray. We'll just kind of rejoice and celebrate one last time. And then we'll be dismissed to go outside and enjoy that. All right? Father, in Jesus' name, would you stand with me? Let's say, Father, in Jesus' name, I praise you for today and the practicality of today. Lord, it's great to read about the phenomenal miracles in the Bible without realizing that those miracles might have been 15 years apart, 20 years apart. And we like the big high, but today we've talked about normal everyday life, where these gifts work and where they function and how we build each other up. And we need both. The miracles don't happen unless the everyday stuff happens. And the everyday stuff gets we just rejoice when you put your finger down on earth and do something really crazy mighty. So we thank you for both. And today, Lord, I pray that you would fill us with your Spirit. I pray for those still seeking the baptism. God, pour your Spirit out on them. And on all of those who are searching for their gifts, God, let each one realize that if you step in small and are faithful with the little, you'll be there to bless them when they're faithful with much. And you'll grow them, each one. So I thank you, God, for what you're doing in our church. It's so beautiful to see. Praise you, Lord, now for the food. Praise you, God, for all the new signups we're going to get in groups in common. And we're going to just have a good time, fellowshipping and loving on each other. We give you the glory. In Jesus' name, the strong Son of God. Everybody said, amen. Pastor Sean, take us out.
Amen. Sing this with me. You're the way, the truth, and the life. You're the well that never runs dry. I'm the branch and you are the vine. Draw me close and teach me to abide. Be my strength, my song in the night. Be my all, my treasure, my prize. You're mine. Draw me close and teach me. Let's sing one more time. You're the way. You're the way, the truth, and the life. You're the well that never runs dry. I'm the branch and you are the vine. Draw me close and teach me to abide. Be my Heavenly Father, I pray as we go, Lord, that you be glorified in us. I thank you for this opportunity right now to give, to love, and to rejoice in you. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Don't forget, we have the elders up here. If you have a prayer need, maybe it's a healing, maybe it's just a advice or just something to pray through, I want to encourage you to make your way up here to pray with the elders. And please, enjoy outside and spend some time just hanging out with each other. God bless.